Harper Audio presents Elephants Can Remember by Agatha Christie, performed by Hugh Fraser.
Chapter 1. A Literary Luncheon. Mrs. Oliver looked at herself in the glass. She gave a brief, sideways look at the clock on the mantelpiece, which she had some idea was 20 minutes slow. Then she resumed her study of her coiffure. The trouble with Mrs. Oliver was, and she admitted it freely, that her styles of hairdressing were always being changed. She had tried almost everything in turn. A severe pompadour at one time, then a windswept style where you brushed back your locks to display an intellectual brow. At least she hoped the brow was intellectual. She had tried tightly arranged curls. She had tried a kind of artistic disarray. She had to admit that it did not matter very much today what her type of hairdressing was, because today she was going to do what she very seldom did, wear a hat. On the top shelf of Mrs. Oliver's wardrobe, there reposed 4 hats. One was definitely allotted to weddings. When you went to a wedding, a hat was a must. But even then, Mrs. Oliver kept 2. One, in a round bandbox, was of feathers. It fitted closely to the head and stood up very well to sudden squalls of rain, if they should overtake one unexpectedly, as one passed from a car to the interior of the sacred edifice, or, as so often nowadays, a registrar's office. The other, and more elaborate hat, was definitely for attending a wedding held on a Saturday afternoon in summer. It had flowers and chiffon, and a covering of yellow net attached with mimosa. The other 2 hats on the shelf were of a more all-purpose character. One was what Mrs. Oliver called her country house hat, made of tan felt, suitable for wearing with tweeds of almost any pattern, with a becoming brim that you could turn up or turn down. Mrs. Oliver had a cashmere pullover for warmth and a thin pullover for hot days, either of which was suitable in colour to go with this. However, though the pullovers were frequently worn, the hat was practically never worn, because really, why put on a hat just to go to the country and have a meal with your friends? The 4th hat was the most expensive of the lot, and it had extraordinarily durable advantages about it. Possibly, Mrs. Oliver sometimes thought, because it was so expensive. It consisted of a kind of turban of various layers of contrasting velvets, all of rather becoming pastel shades, which would go with anything. Mrs. Oliver paused in doubt, and then called for assistance.
"Maria!"
she said, then louder,
"Maria, come here a minute."
Maria came. She was used to being asked to give advice on what Mrs. Oliver was thinking of wearing.
"Going to wear your lovely smart hat, are you?"
said Maria.
"Yes," said Mrs. Oliver. "I wanted to know whether you think it looks best this way or the other way round."
Maria stood back and took a look.
"Well, that's back to front. You're wearing it now, isn't it?"
"Yes, I know," said Mrs. Oliver. "I know that quite well, but I thought somehow it looked better that way."
"Oh, why should it?"
said Maria.
"Well, it's meant, I suppose. But it's got to be meant by me, as well as the shop that sold it,"
said Mrs. Oliver.
"Why do you think it's better the wrong way round?"
"Well, because you get that lovely shade of blue and the dark brown, and I think that looks better than the other way, which is green, with the red and the chocolate colour." At this point, Mrs. Oliver removed the hat, put it on again, and tried it wrong way round, right way round, and sideways, which both she and Maria disapproved of.
"You can't have it the wide way. It's wrong for your face, isn't it? It'd be wrong for anyone's face."
"No, that won't do, I think. I'll have it the right way round after all."
"Well, I think it's safer, always," said Maria.
Mrs. Oliver took off the hat. Maria assisted her to put on a well-cut, thin woollen dress of a delicate puce colour, and helped her to adjust the hat.
"You look ever so smart," said Maria.
That was what Mrs. Oliver liked so much about Maria. If given the least excuse for saying so, she always approved and gave praise.
"Going to make a speech at the luncheon, are you?"
Maria asked.
"A speech?"
Mrs. Oliver sounded horrified. "No, of course not. You know I never make speeches."
"Well, I thought they always did at these here literary luncheons. That's what you're going to, isn't it? Famous writers of 1973, or whichever year it is we've got to now?"
"I don't need to make a speech," said Mrs. Oliver.